bless him now, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Can we just move you about a foot to the right, please?
Oh. You can move me wherever you like, Pete. Is that all right?
Yeah, so we can
see. Oh, good. Okay. Nothing's going to happen on the screen, so that's fine. It says, thank you, Pat. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Oh, I'll get a pink water bottle. Look at that. My wife's water bottle. This is not my topic, but as Pat said, thank you for being a good pastor. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey your leaders. There we are. All right. Obey your leaders and submit to them, Angela. For they keep watch over your souls. Right? I've got responsibility for your souls, as does the other elders in the church. As they will have to give an account. Right? So I've got to stand before God for what we do in this place and what we do with your soul. It's serious stuff. And it says, let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And I just want to say thank you, because I do this job, as did other elders, with joy. You don't make it difficult for us. We are a big family, really, aren't we? And I feel just as cared for by you lot as you probably do by me. And I just want to say thank you, because it's a team. You know, we're all one big team, really, one big family. So while Pat, you know, uninvited there, gave me praise, I would like to say thank you to you, because I think it's actually, you make it easy for us to love you and to care for you, and et cetera, et cetera. So this morning, I haven't got a huge amount to say, which you'll be very grateful for. But I wanted just simply to share with you just a little passage of scripture that I think is really relevant to us as a church. You know, we're coming back having been away for 18 months from being in a building. And it's actually, for some people, although they've been coming on Zoom, Roxanne, yeah, and lots of other people, Marie and a few other people, like, have been coming. They've been coming to other stuff we've done, but they've never actually been to this building. They've never actually been here. And so our church, actually, we didn't lose anyone, praise God. Nobody died, which genuinely, I really was quite worried about at the beginning. Poor old Dave. We were a bit worried about Dave at one point, weren't we? And Joyce got it, and Fred got it, and, you know, they didn't. Hello, Joyce and Fred, if you're probably watching on the... this is our live streaming. We're well high tech. Look at that. Look, it's a phone. But you know, we didn't lose them. But actually, the Lord has added lots of new people to our church. Like, the church has grown amazingly, like significantly grown through lockdown, which is just wonderful. And so I just wanted really quickly this morning just to highlight for us again what it is the Lord has called us to be about as a church. And so that's really what I want to do. I want to just share with us, you know, really the vision, the heart, the passion for us as a church. And it really comes from Luke chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 4. But if you haven't got a Bible, don't worry. I'll just read it for you. If we'd been more organised, I'd have put it on the screen. But, you know, it was difficult enough getting everything else going today. So I just didn't think to add more challenge. And it's what it is. Jesus is announcing his ministry. So this is, we see Jesus turning up in public for the first time, right? But he's been around in private, you know, he's called his disciples, he's had his temptations, we know about his birth. And then this is him saying, this is what I'm here to do. And there'll be many of you that know what this scripture is already. But I'm going to read it to you. And this is Jesus says, he says, he unrolled the scroll. So he's reading from a place in Isaiah. And it says, and he found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. You want to know what our church is about? It's about this. It's about seeing Jesus lifted up, and those that see and hear Jesus and hear the good news coming into a new life with Jesus Christ. And so I just want to talk a little bit about what that means for us and how that works itself out. But so the first thing it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's upon Jesus. But what do we know? When we receive Jesus, when we open our hearts to the Lord and Jesus comes to live in we, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and Jesus within us. And so this, like, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When Jesus says it's upon me, what he's saying is it's upon you. It's upon you, Steve. It's on you, Sam. Ruth. Amen. You know, it's upon you. It's upon us, each of us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things. Right? God has gifted us, right, with the ability to do these things as a church. Okay? All right, he's anointed us to do this job. And what's the first thing it says? The first thing it says is to proclaim the good news. I don't know about you, but the longer I go on, the more I realize that the gospel is good news. Like, it really is good news. Right? I don't know whether you, some of you here may have never been to church before. Some of you have been to church for many years. And you know, sometimes I find, right, that when you've been in church a long time, I don't know if you find this, right, Debbie, right, sometimes you get familiar, don't you? Yeah, I know Jesus loves me. I know Jesus set me free. I know Jesus done good things. I know he's died for me. I know that he's taken my sin away. And we get a bit blasé about it. We get a bit like, oh, yeah, amen. Like, we praise you, Lord. You know, thank you. But I want us to be a church that is excited and passionate about the good news. It is good news for us. It's good news today. It's good news tomorrow. It was good news yesterday. It's going to be good news in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, until the day that we die. It is good news. You know, this week, we did lose one person, actually, technically, in the church throughout the year, which was Jackie Tate. But she actually just died of other things, and she had actually moved away, some of you know. And it was her funeral on Monday, right? And she was 73, it was, do you know what? It was a good news. Where was Liz? Liz was there, wasn't she? Where's Liz gone? Where's Liz hiding? There you are. You were there, weren't you, Liz? Right, and Pat was there, and I were there, right? And it was a good news. It was a good news thing, wasn't it? It was good news, right? She died, but it's still good news. It's good news for her. She's going to be in heaven with Jesus, right? And so she had no fear at the end when she was, she had a bit of dementia and she was, but her son said to me, and her sons aren't believers, right? And they came to me and said, our mum had no, didn't they? They said, our mum wasn't afraid at the end. She said, I wasn't afraid of dying. Jackie wasn't afraid of dying. This is the good news, right? That we are secure in Jesus for now and forever. I don't know when my end's going to come, right? Hopefully it'll be another 40, 50 years, right? Yeah, but I don't know. But I do know this, that the good news of Jesus Christ means that I don't have to be afraid of anything, right? I don't have to be afraid of what's net round the corner. I don't have to be afraid in front of me. I know because it's good news. And I want to tell you about it. If you don't know that, well, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is good news for you and me. It's really simple, this. Very simple. I did warn you, it's going to be nothing complicated this morning, right? But it's good news, and I want us to get excited again about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not careful, right, those of us that, David's been around a long time, been around the block a few times, and you know, don't you, it gets easy to get over-familiar with this truth. And I want us to be excited about the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it means so much to me and it means so much to us as a church. So what are we to do? We're to proclaim this good news to who? To the poor. To the poor, right? And I was thinking about this, right? We live in a weird kind of area. London is a strange place to live, right? If you turn right out of this building here and you start walking up, very quickly you'll get to million-pound houses where Samson lives, right? Right? But you'll get to, and if you keep going, it gets even more expensive, right? Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Samson. Yeah, the middle class, the middle bit. All right, fine. Half up the hill. He's only half up the hill. And if you go left, right, you go into just a normal kind of roundabout where we live, kind of council estate, right? And you know, the thing I've realised is that more and more I am passionate about bringing the good news to everybody, but particularly those that are poor. And I'm not just talking about, you know, this is talking about people who are economically poor, right? And I know that there are people that live next door to us, people that live around the corner to us, that they don't have a lot of money, right? Well, and I want to bring the good news to them. But I don't think he's just talking about being poor in terms of financially. I think he's talking about those that are relationally poor. There are some people through this last lockdown that have been relationally poor. They've been lonely, stuck on their own. Praise God, right, that we are a family, and I hope that nobody in this church felt alone over the last 18 months. Because the good news means that when we find Jesus, we're no longer alone. We're no longer separated and all on our own. We're not. We have Jesus, and it's amazing, right? But I think there are also, and this is the key, right, when Jesus declares, you know, I'm good news to the poor, he didn't just mean the poor. We're all poor. And the thing is, we are all poor, spiritually poor. Some of us have got more money than others. That's irrelevant in some ways, right? In the end, we are all spiritually poor. And this is the thing I realise, that I need God just as much as I've ever done. And I want to say to you, right, you are very welcome in this church, regardless of your background, where you come from, whether you are this or that or whatever, right? The only people that aren't welcome in this church are the people that think, right, that they're all right and that they've got no need of anybody else or God. Because you are probably, you're welcome, but you probably won't fit in. Because I need God. It's good news for me, right? I am the poor. You know, Marlene is the poor. Martin, you are poor, right? Sorry, right? You might be driving a nice car, right? But you realise that in the Lord's eyes, we are all poor. We are all in need. And so I want our church to be a place where everybody, whether you've got £1 million or you've got 1p, you are welcome in this place because it's good news for you. I need it just as much as everybody else does. What's the second thing it says here? So proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Let me tell you, when it says proclaim liberty, he's not just talking about, you know, a nice idea. I've come to tell you that, you know, you could, you know, when you die, you'll just be with Jesus, you know, and it'll be lovely. This is about proclaiming freedom, proclaiming liberty to those who are captive. You know, I think one thing I've learned more and more being in the pastoral ministry, being a church leader for the last, I don't know how many years it is now, I've learned this. There's an awful lot of people that are captive. There's an awful lot of people who are captive. Now, whether it is a captive, I mean, obviously you can go straight away to the obvious one. Mike and Jane are here this morning, right? And Mike and Jane spend a lot of time, don't you, working with those that have got, you know, real addictions and real challenges. You want to talk to them about what they do. But I bet you're seeing God bring liberty, aren't you, to those people that are captive. You know, we immediately think, oh yeah, those that are captive, those that are, you know, maybe got drug problems or alcohol problems, right? But what we've seen over the last kind of, I don't know, 10 years particularly, is that there's so many people that have got mental health problems. They're captives in their own mind. They're captives to insecurity or to anxiety or to a sense of inadequacy or abandonment. All of those things, they're captive to those things. Maybe do you want to know, I'm often captive to my own pride, to being proud, to thinking that I'm wonderful. Every single one of us, right, is in some way, before we find God, we are captives. We are captives. We are not free. But God has come, and this is a church, and I want us to be a church that see broken people, right, and we are all broken, being set free. Amen? Being free from their mental health problems, being free from their addictions, being free from their pride, being free from their, you know, their, I don't know, whatever it is, right? God has come to bring liberty to the captives. This is what the gospel is about, and this is what I want us to continue to be about. What does it say next? It says, recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus came to recover the sight of the blind. Now, this is talking, I think, about physically, people that are physically blind. And again, what does Jesus want to come and do? Jesus wants to heal people. Jesus wants to physically heal people. I haven't seen as much as that as I would have liked, right? But I believe God does heal people. Right, I believe it, and I believe that that's what we should be about, is praying for God to set people free from their physical infirmities, their physical sicknesses. Amen. Right, but it's also talking about the blind, the recovering of sight to people that are spiritually blind. Who loves the song Amazing Grace? Do you like that, Chris? Amazing Grace. Right, what's the line? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Right, I'm going to remember the lines. What's the line that you know? I'm going for the line, right? Hey. What's it going? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Right? Our good friend Sonny, right? Okay. Right? Sonny and I, right, just we chat from time to time. And if I were to say to Sonny, right, what's changed in your life? He would say, I see life differently now. Do you agree with that? Yeah? I was blind. I thought life was all about this, this, and this. I was blind, but now I see. Exactly. There we are. Right? I was blind, but now I see. If you want to know what we're about, it's this. I want to see people, their spiritual blindness being taken away and seeing Jesus, seeing God. What's the next thing on this list? Right? It's not, I did warn you, this isn't a deep sermon, right? Okay? Right? It's just a simple expression of what the Lord's heart is. It says to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There's been a lot of talk, hasn't there, about over the last kind of particularly since lockdown, about all those groups that are oppressed. You know, different groups, you know, different ethnic minorities, or you know, different, you know, people groups that have been oppressed, and we become really aware that people are oppressed, aren't we? But what does it say here? It says to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This should be a church where everybody, everybody is welcome. Everybody, like, you know, is totally welcome. There's no sense of oppression or anything like that. But it's not just, I think, societal oppression. I think it's also spiritual oppression. I think there are so many people that live under spiritual oppression, that their families, you know, maybe someone dabbled in the occult, or maybe there was just sin that has run through their generations, and their life is just constantly being oppressed by the enemy and the devil, right? And what does it say? What did Jesus come to do? He came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And that's what we're about. I want to see people being free, right? I've had the privilege to pray for people over these last 18 months, last 3 or 4 years, that the devil would stop interfering with their lives, and praise God, he has. Because that's the power that we have in Christ Jesus. The devil has no power, we have the power, right? Because Jesus has the power, because Jesus won the victory, right? It's really simple, guys, it's really simple, right? To set at liberty those who are oppressed. I need an amen at this point.
Amen.
I still didn't hear it. What was that?
Amen.
Amen. Right? This is what we are about. And you might, this morning, you might find yourself in one of these categories. You might think, well, I feel poor. Or I know there are things in my life that I cannot break free from. Maybe it's a pornography habit. Maybe I don't see the world right, right? Maybe it's the fact that I feel oppressed, that I feel like just all the time spiritually under pressure. I want to declare to you this morning that this is what Jesus has come for. He came to bring the good news of freedom to ordinary men and women who are a little bit weird, but quite wonderful at the same time, and bring freedom to us all. And this is the key. I need it just as much as anybody else in this room. Do we understand that? If you've been a Christian, where's Ruby? Ruby? Ruby's there. Ruby's our 90-something, right? Okay, right? Member of the church, right? And Ruby's been a Christian, what, for 70 years now, is it? Yeah, something like that. Ruby, do you need this as much as everybody else? Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't change. The older you get, you don't need Jesus less. Can I just tell you, the older you get, the more you need Jesus. Because the more you realise, oh my word, there's some massive areas of weakness in my life. And this is what I want us to be about as a church. I want us to dedicate our lives to loving Jesus and to declaring, I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to tell people the good news, right? What's the last thing on this, right? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. What does it mean to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, right? Sally, God wants to bless you. Marie, God wants to bless you. Hannah, God wants to bless you. Esther, God wants to bless you. Andy, no, I'm joking. Andy, God wants to bless you. I'm not going to do everyone, don't worry. That'd take a while, but I could. Because that's the heart, you see. God loves you. You are his children. Every single one of us are a child of God. And as such, you know when my kids come to me, right? Well, I don't, you know, those of us that have got kids or grandkids, you know, when your child comes to you, what do you want to do? You want to bless them, don't you? You've got grandkids, haven't you, Ellen? Yeah. You know, you love it. If you can give them a Mars bar or a sweet, you want to do it. If you want to just, you know, you want to love your kids, you want to bless them. When you come, when people find freedom, when people receive sight, when people are liberated from oppression of the enemy, when they come into freedom, God's blessing begins to flow upon their life. Right? God's blessing begins to flow on them. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, do a pat, stand up, sit down, turn around. You know, that went on forever this morning, Pat. You know, right? But let me ask you this question, right? And put your hand up. Who has known the blessing of God in the last year? Hands up if you have known the blessing of God in the last year. I want to tell you that you haven't seen anything yet. God wants to bless you. Not because, right, that's the aim. God wants to bless you because he loves you. I want to promise, being a Christian means that you're going to suffer, right? Sorry. Being a Christian means that life's going to be hard. In fact, it's probably going to be harder. But as you follow Christ, as you proclaim the good news, as you see people come into freedom, I want to tell you that you will also experience at the same time the blessing of God in your life. And the blessing, and this is it, right? And this is the summary to the message. When I talk about good news, it's not just a message, is it? It's not just a message. It's not just a new idea or a news for, well, who is the good news? Who?
Jesus.
Jesus is the good news. He is the prize. He is the blessing. He is the thing that you're going to get that no one else can take away. He is the one that brings freedom to the poor. He is the one that brings freedom to the captive, sight to the blind, liberty to those that are oppressed. It's Jesus. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a church that loves and worships Jesus. Right? That's all I've got to say. Right? That's all I've got to say this morning. Right? Nothing complicated. But if you want to know, right, what we're about as a church, we're about this. We're about Jesus, number one. And we're about seeing Jesus bring freedom to ordinary people. Right? Every people. This is what my heart is. And do you know what? Right? I preached a message which quite a few people remember a few years ago, right, about what kind of church the Lord wanted us to be. And 3 years on, the Lord has done that. We are a messy group of people. Right? We are a messy group of people. We're all messy, every single one of us. And God is making it. And I want to say to you that it's not a surprise to me that the church is continuing to grow. It will continue to grow. Because as we declare these things, as we outwork these things in our lives, as we live them out, right, God is going to send people. God is going to send people. God wants to send people here because God wants to use you and God wants to use me. You might think, oh, great, Tim, this is what God's called you to do. No, no, no. Liz, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Debbie, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Jeff, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Mary, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's on us. We are ordinary people, but in the hands of the Lord, we can do almighty things. Amen. It's not complicated. And you know what? When that happens, and as we do that, the Lord is going to send people from this place all over the world. I'm convinced of it. That's the outworking. You know, we talk about being a sending church. The outworking is God will send all kinds of people all over the place. So I want us to stand. Can I just say, that's probably like my shortest message ever. Like 20 minutes. Check that out, right? Don't expect that every week. I want us to stand and I want us to respond, right? Right?